So what would the banking system look like if it did put customers first? Is that what the Banking Royal Commission is going to deliver? Well, some are obviously optimistic, but critics say there is plenty of evidence that the Royal Commissioner has missed some opportunities. Warren Staples is among them. He's a senior lecturer in management at RMIT University. Warren Staples, thanks for speaking with us. Can we start with oversight in the banking context? Because despite the criticisms of ASIC and APRA by the Royal Commission and through the hearings, they are being tasked with being the solution, really, with their own oversight body on top. Is this going to work?
I think to a degree it's part of the solution, but I think that it fails to address some of the other more systemic kind of nature of the problems. With the oversight bodies, we know that they can be leaned upon politically. They can have their funding cut. They can have their work emphasised or de-emphasised for them. So, I think it's part of the solution, but I don't view it as the central plank.
So, how do you address the central? What should the central plank be if you want to get to those structural problems?
Well, I think some of the structural problems are about the kind of nature of the sector in Australia. You know, it's the big four and the concentration of them and their power, and that there are alternative models where you might break those up into, you know, different types of lending entities, more community-based banks, smaller banks. The kind of research from other international jurisdictions is that they provide cheaper lending prices, better consumer services, and don't over-leverage themselves in the same way that these bigger banks do.
Breaking up the big four banks, though, clearly Commissioner Hayne wasn't going to go there.
No.
Not very prospective in this country.
No, and I can understand. Well, I think that the time frame of the report being undertaken over the 12 months meant that some of those kind of recommendations probably, you know, there would have been more time needed to really consider how that might happen. So putting the industry structure aside, then the other two key issues for me, and Commissioner Hayne recognises their importance, around governance, culture and remuneration. And I think that the governance of the banks could have been altered. There could have been recommendations around having consumer advocacy groups as representatives of the board. There could have been worker representatives proposed for the board. I think these members would have been far less likely to ignore the whistleblowers that were prevalent in a number of the big four banks.
So somebody on the board who has the public interest at heart, that still leaves you with the rest of the board beholden to shareholders, though, doesn't it? I mean, how do you balance that?
Look, I mean, one thing you could have done is with these big four banks is you could have proposed a dual-tier structure where you have public interest people serving on the supervisory board and then you have a management board. You kind of separate the tasks of managing the firm and then the supervisory task of the board.
The board is appointed to make sure the banks make money for the shareholders. Do you need to redefine that fundamental role rather than just add another layer to it?
Well, I think that's part of it, right? So interestingly, in Ireland after the GFC, where they lost, you know, where kind of $60+ billion of public money was used to prop up the banking sector, they insisted on appointing public interest directors to the banks. And they only appointed one per, I think it was their six banks, right? So even then they have changed the directors' duties to reflect public interest. I mean, I think the thing in Australia is that we assume that the directors are there to kind of make money for shareholders, but the Corporations Law actually is kind of, or the Corporations Act is clear about them acting in the corporation's best interest. And my view is that if you want them to serve the public interest, you need to change the composition of the people on the board.
I guess the other issue is remuneration too. There was a lot of expectation that the Royal Commissioner might say, look, let's cap remuneration. He didn't. What would be the impact if we did do that? Can it work?
I thought he might have capped executive and director remuneration, or at least proposed kind of outlines of what those kind of acceptable bands might be, and done that for staff within banks also. What would have happened is that all of the staff who work for banks would have been personally affected, and they all would have had more of a sense of we're responsible for this and we're being held accountable for this. I think there is a danger in not addressing remuneration that the bankers never feel like they're actually really held to account.
This Royal Commission is by no means a one-off in terms of inquiries into collapsed financial entities or, you know, the general state of the banks. We've had plenty of those.
Yeah.
Is this just going to be another one?
Well, I think that's the real danger, and that's what Andrew Linden, my colleague at RMIT, have been writing about, and we are concerned that in not addressing some of these more systemic structural issues that we're doomed to repeat this, that the lessons of the past are forgotten. Right? You know, if you look back to, 2003, there was a big HIH insurance collapsed and, there were recommendations around independent directors and other parts of the governance of the company, and it does seem that these come in cycles.
Warren Staples, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Warren Staples, and he and his colleague wrote in The Conversation about those issues today.